KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies, still some areas of lingering fog. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer. Located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the National Weather Service says areas of dense fog will persist through the early morning hours. It'll be prevalent mainly through about 9 or 10 a.m. and dense in spots. Visibilities may be down to a quarter of a mile at times until conditions begin improving by mid-morning. In the meantime, you're encouraged to slow down if you're driving and use your low-beam headlights and allow for extra stopping distance between vehicles. In the news, two people were arrested on drug charges early Saturday morning in Creston. Police say 18-year-old Wesley Oliphant of Lenox and 40-year-old Amy Crispin of Creston both faced possession of drug paraphernalia charges after they were taken into custody a little after 1 a.m. Saturday at 611 West Adams Street. Crispin faces an additional charge of possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, second offense. She was released from the Union County Jail on $2,000 bond, while Oliphant was released on a $300 bond. On Sunday, 28-year-old Adam Drake of Creston was arrested on charges of public intoxication, third or subsequent offense. He was being held in the Ringgold County Jail with bond set at $2,000. And last Friday, 50-year-old Daniel Schnedeker of Diagonal was arrested in Creston for driving under suspension. He was later released on a $300 bond. Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandewater reported Sunday a man from Union County was arrested last Tuesday morning on drug charges. 29-year-old Adam Thomas Harris of Creston was taken into custody by Stewart police at a convenience store. Harris faces charges that include felony possession of methamphetamine, 5 milligrams or more, with the intent to deliver, possession of a prescription medication without a valid prescription, and possession of drug paraphernalia, including scales and syringes. His bond was set at $100,000. Also arrested Tuesday on an Adair County warrant for criminal mischief in the fifth degree was 19-year-old Matthew Henry Paulson of Adair. He was later released on $300 bond. Last Wednesday, 27-year-old Alexander Maxwell Furman of Adair was arrested by an Iowa State Patrol trooper for OWI first offense. Furman was released the following day on $1,000 bond. Taken into custody Friday in Adair County was 52-year-old Kenneth John Perry of Greenfield, who faces two counts of assault with injury in connection with an incident during which he allegedly slapped two minors, leaving them with a red mark on the side of their faces. Perry was being held on $1,000 bond. And 35-year-old Corey Martin Gregerson of Adair was arrested Friday evening on charges that include driving while license revoked, failure to use a child restraint device, and failure to provide or maintain or use a safety belt. Gregerson was released the following day on $1,000 bond. Elsewhere in the news, 12 people from 10 Southwest Iowa communities were recently, or counties, were recently inducted into the Iowa 4-H Hall of Fame at the Iowa State Fair. The inductees or their representatives were presented with a certificate by the Iowa 4-H Foundation as they were introduced on stage at the 4-H Exhibits Building at the fair August 23rd in Des Moines. Albert Grunewald, executive director of the Iowa 4-H Foundation, said in a news release, "When I look at all of the Hall of Fame inductees, I can't help but marvel at the ripple effect from their contributions to the 4-H program. We are honored to be able to recognize the efforts of these special people." Among the inductees from Southwest Iowa include Mary Otmar from Cass County, Virgil Sorensen from Audubon County, Evelyn Lund from Adams County, Jim and Lisa Calvert from Guthrie County, also from Harrison County, David Salstead, in Mills County, James Paul, Montgomery County, Carol Spar, Pottawatomie County, East Pott County, that is, Gene and Cheryl Fritz, and in Shelby County, Paula Barrett. A reception sponsored by donors to the Iowa 4-H Foundation was held shortly after the Iowa 4-H Hall of Fame presentations. The honorees were selected by their respective counties for their service and dedication to 4-H, contributions to the lives of 4-Hers and the program. And inductees have served as club leaders, fair board members, council members, fair judges, financial supporters, Iowa State University staff members, and more. The Iowa 4-H Hall of Fame was established in 2002 to help commemorate the 100th anniversary of 4-H. Well, members of the Atlantic City Council this Wednesday will act on a resolution that, if approved, would call for a bond measure to be placed on the November 3rd general election ballot. The city would ask its citizens to approve paying for the restoration of the historic ballroom and theater and the creation of a multi-purpose facility on the second and third floors of the City Hall building. The cost of the bond would not exceed $875,000 and would be paid for through local option sales tax funds. The city council meeting begins at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Prior to a vote approving the resolution, Design Alliance architect firm representative Jerry Purdy will make a presentation on the proposed project, which a task force has been reviewing issues pertaining to for the past 6 months. Design Alliance has placed the cost of the work for the project at $931,097. The council approved $100,000 during their last bond issuance for the installation of an elevator that makes the second floor accessible. About $10,000 of those funds have been reserved to compensate Design Alliance for their services to the city. City officials say the remaining $90,000 can be credited to the project, bringing the needed funds to $841,097. City Administrator John Lund said he requested the bond on the ballot measure be increased to $875,000 to cover any contingencies or unanticipated costs associated with the work on the project, because contractors have warned him that the building's age may be concealing major problems that won't be known until after work begins. In other business, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday will hold the first readings of ordinances amending the city's code of ordinances with regard to fiscal management and accountability and provisions pertaining to the mayor and council compensation. John Lund says the last time the council's compensation was considered was in 1994, with the mayor's salary having been adjusted 18 years ago. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.